happened. Second Rabbi. Rabbi Sai, in the minute that we've got, a brief halacha. We've learned three things, basically. We have learned that there's an issur Torah to cook for a goy, but we understand that that's an issur Torah to cook specially for a goy. To cook a separate dish for a goy or to cook it, that's number one. And then we are left with the second halacha, which is that Chazal, in order to prevent you from coming to cooking for a goy, made a takona that you shouldn't invite a goy. So therefore, now we can. Those are the theories. That's pretty much all we need to know. And then you can apply now the three cases that we discussed. Case number one was where Aaron Blau invited an elderly lady to come to the Seder, and then she accepts the invitation, and the next day she phones up and says, "But I'm bringing with my Filipino carer, yeah, and my dog, yeah." So the answer is, did you invite the Filipino carer? No. Are you particularly interested in making the Filipino carer happy, that you would start cooking special Filipino dishes, yeah, in order to make her happy, so that she doesn't eat chicken soup and she doesn't eat gefilte fish, but she's eating Filipino food? No, because she's not somebody who you invite. So you're not over the love when you feed her the food that you're making anyway, yeah, even if you add extra food for her. But if you're feeding her the food that you're making anyway, then you're not being cooking a dish specially for a goy. You're not over the deraisa of bishul for an akum, of lechem v'lo la'akum, and you're not over the drabonon of inviting a goy. That Chazal said, passing in aloch in top kuf yud beis, yeah, that Chazal said that you mustn't invite a goy. You didn't invite her. You invited the Jewish lady. She wants to come with. A goy can attend. In the same way, and then the same applies to avdoi v'shiv chosoi. You've got a housekeeper, you've got an au pair, someone who lives with you. You didn't invite them. You're not going to go out of your way to try and please them by making them special dishes, separate cooking, which you didn't do for the entire family. And therefore it's mutter to cook, for the family to eat, and for the goy who is attending, who was not invited, that goy can eat as well. You can even add some extra food for them, although we'll speak tomorrow about an interesting psak of Rebbe Eliashiv.
Started at the Torah Way Northwest London, Thursday, Hay Nissan, 3rd of April. Rev. Dudi Rosenberg, Shlita Gems on the Haggadah. This week's Torah Way of the Responsible Family Council of Hatzim Tanasim of Moshe Kanter, Mary Yoin Shira Cohen, which took place on Monday. He wrote the same advice in their mind, he saw the shame of the Sirof. The source, Ashburn, while Philem, when you come off, Shatu, Rotem, the Shalom, the Hero.
Thank you. This is Chayra part two, so we continue from where we left off. It's very sorry if I'm under the weather and my voice is not as audible as I would like. But you know, there's other speakers are under the weather, and I have to fill in to be instead of them, so I might as well fill in instead for myself. So I'm filling in for myself. And if I'm not quite sorry, forgive the splatters and the coughs. We were up to the Abu Bunim, and we had the Chofetz Chaim's question. He asked, why is it that if we go in opposite, then the Ben Chucham should be substituted by the Ben HaTzadik, because the Rusha is obviously on the diametrically opposed part of the pole. And we said that the Heilige Chofetz Chaim suggested that questions asked in the first instance, by Ben Chucham, Mu'aydes Vachikem HaMishputim, Ashetzivu Shem Melekaini Eschem, are also inappropriate for Tzadik for sure. The reason for that is simply because Koin kol titmen shpeite fregtmen. You got the Nase and you got Nishma. This was the DNA of the Jewish people. And even the Balakud alludes to this too when he says, Matzah zishuni oichlem al shemu, Mura zishuni oichlem al shemu. So it's a given. First of all, Matzah zishuni oichlem. We are certainly eating matzah. want to know why? Yeah, by all means, afochpa, tekilaba. And therefore, we need to explore, understand, plumb the depths and the fathom, and fathom the Torah and understand it. But in principle, koin kol titman. And therefore, he might be a chucham, but he's not quite making it as a tzaddik. The Malbim's got a very, very nice take on this. Four children could represent four generations. Go back 200 years ago, along the lines of what the Chofetz Chaim was speaking about, it makes a lot of sense to say that the Chucham is not really the Tzaddik, because he might do the Seder, but he does so with skepticism. He does it with cynicism. There are doubts. Yeah, he does. He goes through the motions and he'll do the rituals. But the bottom line is, Liboy, Baal, Imoy. He's not really there. And children, which is what this Seder is all about, Abu Bune, pick up on these cues and they know very well, listen, let's cut across all the niceties, you're not really in it. And the child takes the message when he was young, later when he's judgmental, and when he's growing up, and eventually he becomes the Rusha, who's the second son, who quintessentially throws it all in, and he becomes Chal Shabbos for Fehesia, Euch Neweile Setreifes, and he's really not interested, and he becomes the proper Haskalist. He has a little boy because he grew up, got married, and Hashem got Chayidische Frau Ochot. So he has a little boy called Tam. The Tam, unsuspectingly, comes as a little boy to his grandfather's house, because once a year he doesn't hate his father. He despises the cynicism and the attitude to Torah rituals. And the son comes in, sees the old man there with his white couple and sitting at the table there with matzahs, and he turns around to his father and he says, "Mazois, you don't do this. Where does he take this from?" And his father obviously struggles to answer. Mr. Tam grows up and he gets married. But by the time he has a little boy, the old man is pushing daisies. And he's no longer there. Because our Chucham is Shin Ba'al Medik Shoyt, and the Shaini Da'ilishl ain't got anybody to ask, because he's got the point of reference. And therefore you have the Deures going down, one following the next. I once remember from Schleube Freshwater, he added, yeah, when I told him this, he said, the fifth son is one which we can add, that our Shein Yedai Lishl Taket didn't have a point of reference, but he had a son, and the son grew up, Mamash Atinik Shenishbe. But when he was 20, he went to the Western Wall, and he followed the song, "One more Shabbos, and we just all be just one Shabbos." And somebody taps him on the shoulder and says to him, "Would you like to come somewhere to experience an authentic Shabbos?" And he says, "Yeah." Because somehow this Yiddish Knoitl flackert doch. And he goes there and he sees what he's been missing and embraces it, comes back, feels part of something that he knew was missing in his soul, and eventually, after a long journey of tshuva, becomes the, not the chucham, but the tzaddik, the first son, and that completes the circle in its entirety, which is a nice thought, following on from the Malbim. But the answer that we give the Ben Arusha has always left me perplexed. You know, there's a klal, Yemin Mekarev, Smol Doicha,
shouldn't be too exceedingly rejecting. But also, you know that it's important to listen between the lines. The Torah's question referring to the Rusha is Vaho Yuki Yomri Aleichem Benaichem. It's not Kish Olcho Bincho Mucho Leima. When he's asking you, it's noch a halbe Zura, then we're still on the railway, on the lines. But when he's telling you, listen carefully, he's not asking you, Voyuki Yoimri Aleichem Benaichem, Muavoidu Zois Luchem. Those kids are not asking for answers. They're telling you why they're rejecting you. But with all that, our mitzvah is very, very much so to try our level best, especially in 2025, to do everything we can to re-embrace that straight child. And here we're telling him, Hakeh Shinov, grind his teeth. Doesn't mean Hakeh with the keef, with a chuf, bash his teeth out. Quite not, even if you say Baskivke Baskuf. But there's a clear distinction. At the point of birth, animals are born with teeth. Human beings are not born with teeth. And even when human beings have teeth, they are replaced by milk teeth to molars to proper teeth that stay for longer, depending how frequently you visit the dentist. There's a very deep symbolism in those teeth, because the teeth say, you weren't born perfect. You have a journey. You're born a little child, and the teeth is something that grow with you. As you grow, you expand. You have new vicissitudes. You have new boundaries. You are in a journey of growth. That's the message. And that's why Esav, who represents Osu, he's made it, he's complete, he has nothing to do except eat, drink, and be merry, for today we live, and tomorrow we die, and that's what counts. Have fun, guys! Yeah, but there is a journey to do. Not for me. Mu'avoidu azois luchem! Luchem v'loiloi. And therefore, on the back of that, we understand why Esav was Osui, and he was, according to the Medrash, born with teeth, strangely enough. Because he was finished. And Shoe ben Yoy Moinik Rushoe, as we say, the animal, as soon as he comes out of, exits the passage of birth from his mother, the cow, within a couple of hours, he's there on the floor and he's munching away at the grass and eating a hacked of by the button. No problem. Little child born so dependent, milk. And therefore, Hakei Eshinov, we remind him, you should know that there is something which is symbolic of that concept of growth, the teeth. And if you grind them, you might remind yourself that you have a way to go, my friend. It's not a place where you are made, or I have made it, like our Esav depicts. And Memaila, that sweetens somehow the answer which we give to the Ben Harush. Last night I saw something novel, very nice, which I hope I get it right. But the question again on the Ben Harush is, why do we respond to him so harshly? What did he say? Mu'avoidu azois luchem. So therefore we say, you're out of it, very harsh words. He's nishkam charev, and nishkam megadev, and we call him a koifer beike, but not from the words. It doesn't appear to be that he is really all that bad. So the Rusha really feels, I was speaking about a son that many can relate to, sitting at this table, very distant and not part of it. He does not really feel that he's sharing in this experience. And his self-perception is,
I am the bad boy. I am the black sheep of this family. And that's estranged him to a place to avoid the Azois. Lochem. There is a distinction. You and I. And you know why? Because he doesn't really feel that he belongs to this Seder. And he doesn't feel legitimately part of it. And if you look there, the response of the father is a little bit in the third person. It's distant. You start off with him speaking to the father directly. To you. But his teeth. Why would we say, if you're speaking to him directly, speak to him directly, but there's some sort of third party here, which works very beautifully with this thought. The father's responding to a third person. And he's saying that sinister feeling that you are experiencing is really an attachment to you. It's not something that you were born with inherently, a little along those earlier lines. Just like your teeth. You weren't born with them. It's not part of you. They came later, a sticky clipper, an attachment of bad behaviors. That doesn't mean that the behaviors dictate the person. That's not the real you. You're not essentially an evil boy. You are not to be removed. Maybe the activities can be removed. Comes the father, he says, I'll prove it to you as well. You know why? Ili hoyushom loy hoyuniga. Again, in the third person. The intrinsically evil ones, the ones who are bad to the core, they died there. The real bad guys that said, we don't want part of this, we really don't want to be part of this, we're very happy here in this cesspool. But you weren't. You came out because you're here today and you are a generation after generation of that generation. And therefore the fact that you are here is a raya that you belonged to those redeemed ones. And you were liberated because you deserved to be. And to be present with us at this Seder. And he asked of him, hence we ask you, if you can remove that extraneous part of you, the rusha part of you, the teeth, to discover the real you, that you're not such a bad boy at all. And you might later on embrace that path of truth. A new thought. Which brings us to Vehisha Omdullah Vasaini. Beautiful thought from the Satbaro. We stand and we raise the cup of wine. And we exalt to the Rabbein Shlomo and we raise it. Why? Because Gozri al Yain. And why the wine makes such a fuss of it? Vehisha Omdu, as if we are somehow pointing to the wine. And he says, the Gemara says in Shabbos, Gozri al Yain, Mishim Pitam, Pitam, Mishim Ben Naisayim. These are all gezeiros that the Rebbeinu Shlom kept us away from eventually assimilating. There were boundaries. And those boundaries, those gezeiros, those harchokos of wine, of stam yainam, have stood us in very good stead. For he, the wine, she'omdu, la'we sain divluni. And reminded that stopped us from intermarriage and assimilation. Just try and get my act together here yet. So he says, there's another reason we say, he, when we point to the wine, is simply because mangoes become shaky when you squeeze them. And so do raspberries. So the only one that is aliyah lebechusai is essentially anuvim. Starts with the boire priu eitz. Soon as it's turned into grape juice, it comes boirei peri hagufen. And there's a reason for that. Because the Geffen actually is symbolizing Klal Yisrael in the act of pulverizing those grapes brings out the best. And regretfully, by Yidden, they soar to amazing heights when they're under oppression and beating and the jackboot of their enemy. How did the Gemara Megillah say, G'doyle Asuras HaTabas, or the Haman's rings was removed, did so much more than 49 Nevi'im and 7 Nevi'is. Which shows you again, V'hi She'omdula V'sayni, we are again epitomized by this wine. The wine which is Aliyah Alei Lebechuse. And then the Balguda goes on, Shalayechot Mevadu Modelayin El Chalasayni, V'akudosh Baruch Hu Matzilayni Miyudo, which is again a superfluous word. Matzilayni, he saved us. Why the Miyudo? And he answers that there's an irony here. Watch the ways where the Rebbein Shalom saves us. Who was brought into the king's palace to actually turn around this, all the events? Who was the prince? The prince royal was Moshe Rabbeinu. And the one who saved us, the one who was brought up by the enemy, it was Miyudom through Paroi. And who was the one that saved the Eden in the times of the Megillah? Esther Malka was brought into the palace of Ahasuerus. It always, the Rebbein Shalom shows them that in front of your very eyes, their savior will be the one that you will cultivate and you will propagate. And even in Warsaw, when there were two Wunder Rabbiners that were being searched by the Gestapo, and on the top of the hit list, Belzeruv and the Gerer Rebbe, there on a motorbike was the Imre Emes, driven by Oberkommander Valery, who was a senior Gestapo member, hunting him down, the very Gerer Rebbe who was sitting next to him on a bike, covered up in a scarf, and he thought that he was an Italian minister. And V'akudosh Baruch Hu Matzilayni Miyudom, he saves us through their hands, that they are the ones that actually are instrumental in saving the Jewish nation. And the Sfasemes adds to that, regretfully, Matzilayni Miyudom, that the play on words is beautiful. Unfortunately, to the generations, the downfall and the pitfall of Eden has been the fact that there's been disparity, sectionizing, always different compartments. Every year there is a Belzer, there is a Gerer, there is a Litvak, there is a Chuse, there is a Sfardi, an Ashkenazi. But if it would only be a unity, Sheloi Echot Bilvad, the very reason on its own that we are not Echot, Umad Ulayni L'Chalasayni has been constantly a hand over us and a cause for our destruction. So therefore, like Mordechai Yehidi said, Lech Kenois, or Esther, Lech Kenois is Kol HaYehidim, and the beginning of the salvation was what? Just that. Go and gather them together, bring about a sense of Achdus, and that is V'hi She'omdu L'Avesayni V'luni, She'loi Echad B'lvad, the fact on its own that we are not Echad, that is the causative reason that Umad Ulayni L'Chalasayni, that we are suffering at the destruction of our adversaries. I did designate a small part of the Shia to a story, although I know it's a Shia, but the lesson which is brought from the story is so profound that it's really mamish like a Heilig fin der Seide. It can be said and repeated if you wish. And it's a vehicle to describe the profundity of the mitzvah of Achilas Matzah. I'll try and be as quick as I can. There was a Yid that came to Rav Shloime Ungar in Bnei Barak and came to him with a shala. Rav Shloime Ungar listened and he said to him, I was in the concentration camps. I had a friend. The friend was a Benon Shel Kedoshim. He was from Gugur Groyser Rebbes and Zaydes. He was the only one there who really kept the calendar properly. Before Pesach, he came to me and he said, Begait Essen Matzis. I looked at him, you know, that he'd really fallen off a lorry. But miraculously, I'm telling you, this is what happened. Sacks of wheat were brought in by the Germans into the camp in order to bake bread. And some kernels fell off the back of the lorry, and He went and I joined him. We gathered in the middle of the night, literally at the risk of death, those kernels of wheat, and we put them inside our shirts. We ground them, and at Erev Pesach, we turned the tin can into an oven, and we even managed to bake 2 matzahs each. He and I, we got out of those kernels 4 matzahs. 1 kazayas exactly, and we sang over that tin can Hallel while we were baking them with tears streaming down our face. When the matzahs were finished, between the two of us, it was decided that I was the one who was going to be responsible to bring those matzahs back to the barracks. And my friend, the Benon Shel Kedoshim, slipped away inconspicuously. Now came the moment of truth. I came to the entrance of the barracks, and fate had it so, the German saw something was bulging from underneath my shirt. Grabbed me by the elbow, and as he did so, he pulled my elbow up and he saw the matzahs fall down onto the floor. He took a gun and he smashed me across the head first of all, and then he trampled on me and kicked me and beat me, and then when he'd finished, he trampled on the matzahs with a ratziche till he pulverized them. And when he was finally satisfied and had vented his rage, he walked off and left me for dead. Eventually I gained consciousness, I regained my senses, and I swept up what was next to me, the little bits of powder and brekelech and crumbs, which were so precious, and put them into my pocket. They were no longer too kazaisim. Whatever the remnants were there with me. It came the night of Pesach, and there was really only enough for me. And my friend said to me, I want to speak to you. And he begged me to eat that 1 kazayis. I told him, really, it's not fair. I was the one that received the blows. I was beaten. My ribs are smashed. Boy, I was subjected to it. And my friend said to me, okay, let me make a geschäft. You eat the matzahs? No. I'll eat the matzahs. And you'll get the schar for the mitzvah. In the world to come. I thought, a moment, 2, 3, I said, Maslebruch, we got the deal. We had a Seder together, which I can tell you is speaking to Rav Shmuel Ungar, unforgettable. He knew the entire Aguda by heart, my friend, who was a Benon Shel Kedoshim, and I followed him word by word all the way till we got to Shir HaShirim, and by that time I was long forgotten. A couple of weeks after Pesach, sadly, he was taken a lorry, pulled out to a forest, gunned down, shot to death, thrown into a mass grave, and that was the end of him. I survived the war. I got married. I had a family. And last night, he appeared to me in a dream. He looked like he was shining in white. And he begged me one thing, to forgo the undertaking which he made to me, that the ganaiden for the Achilles matzah and the schar are mine. And he asked me that I should relinquish and give that to him. Once again, I felt that this was really not fair. And that's why I came to you, Yitzchak Shleimer Ungar, to tell me what to do. I need that ruche. Ungar said, it's something which is beyond me, go to the Machnofke Rebbe. And he went to the Machnofke Rebbe, the alte Machnofke Rebbe, Benai Barak, Hatzadik Yisod Oilun. He suggested to him, this is Rebbe Shashale, he's the man that will answer it. Once he told and related the entire story to him, the Machlofke Rebbe said to him, give me a moment to think. And there was a long, uncomfortable silence. And the Machlofke Rebbe said to him, you want to know what I really feel? I'll tell you. Give it to him. Your friend never had any children. Your friend was killed. There'll be no continuity from him. His only well growth in Olam Habo is mitzvahs. And he realizes today this mitzvah, you have the opportunity to eat many more kezaisim of matzah. He will never do that again. This is the Olam Wasiyah. That's the Olam Watzilus. You have a wife, you have children, you have an opportunity to grow. Be kind, be large, and give away that schar. And the man told him, after a moment's thought, okay, so the Machlofke Rebbe says, that's not what I meant. Not so quick. To make a decision like that, took out the keys from his pocket, he says to him, come back to the Beis Medrash tonight at 12 o'clock, open the Urim Kodesh, and talk to the Eibishter, and tell him, the emes, that you really moichel him for that mitzvah. Think it over carefully. Took the keys. But that night was a very, very formidable night. It wasn't a quick affair. As soon as the doors to the Urim Kodesh opened up, the heart of that man opened up. The anguish, the past, the history, and everything that he had suffered came out, and tears gushed forth between the Sifra Torah. And the man cried about his past. And then he shouted out between him and the Rebbein Shlolem, Ich bin mevater, ich geb uns ganze Schar, soll er das huben? And he said so from the depths of his heart. He gave it away to his friend, the Benon Shel Kedoshim, and he closed the doors to the Urim Kodesh and locked the doors and went out. That night, his friend came to him in a dream, smiling, glowing in white, and just said, Shkoyach. In the morning, he saw the Machlofke Rebbe, he came back to him. The following day, took the keys out of his pocket and returned them to him. And he told the Machlofke Rebbe that what happened, and he told him about the dream. And the Machlofke Rebbe smiled and said, Ich weiß. I thought that might happen. But now that you are alive and he's not, you can recognize that your friend was not just a Benon Shel Kedoshim. He was a very lofty individual. He lived on a different plane and a different realm, even in the camps. He was ultimately killed. Al Kiddush Hashem. Which is in itself an unparalleled merit. But the lesson that we take from here was the last part that the Machlofke Rebbe said to him. But now you are aware of the value of one mitzvah simply by the fact that your friend was begging you to bequeath the schis of the schar of that mitzvah to him. You will today and next Pesach treasure and appreciate your ability to be mekayim the mitzvah of achilas matzah. And the Eibishter should help us that from that story we should be able to appreciate and value where we started off this entire seder from. Echatz b'nikoyo in kapoy v'soyvavu es mizbachachu Hashem. Mizbachachu we described as muro, as roya, bayot, karpas, charoises, and all the things which are there, which appear like simple rituals, but ultimately they are turning over heavens above. Thank you. Shalom.
Yeah.